when you thought you were at the end, or you thought you were at the bottom, or you thought you weren't going to pull through this one, but God. Amen? But God. Thank you, Jesus. And he makes a way in the wilderness. He makes a way in the desert. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. And I'm thankful for him today. Thankful for all of you. Thank you for being connected to us, for being a part of this house, for a part of this dream and a part of this vision. And I say all the time, God's up to something big. We don't know how big or what all he has in store, but I believe we serve a big God. Amen? We serve a big God. We serve a generous God. And he's a good, good father. And I'm thankful for that this morning. We have been sharing in a series in the church, talking about how to cultivate a culture of leaders. And I started out talking about that as our children are going back to school and, you know, encouraging our children to be leaders and not just followers, but to be leaders, to set the bar, to set the standard. But I believe it also, it applies to children, it applies to our youth, it applies to adults in every area of our life. Because as we said last week, sometimes we're leaders and sometimes we're followers, right? And you need to be good at both. To be effective leader, I think you need to know how to follow. And sometimes to be able to follow, you got to understand leadership. You got to understand sometimes chain of command. You got to understand vision. You got to understand sometimes I'm following and maybe don't even know all of the circumstances, but I got to trust the vision of the one who's leading, that they are leading us in the direction that we need to go, and trust that if God has spoken to them, God will lead you where you need to go. You know, there's been a lot of times that I've followed and not knowing circumstances, only to find out there was a lot of things in the background that not everybody else didn't know. But just be true to what God's called you to do. And the fact is, if you are leading and you don't know all the background story, that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? To be an effective leader, you don't have to tell all the details of everything. You just need to know the direction you need to go. And so being able to follow is a quality. You know, I was sharing with Morgan coming out the road this morning. The other day we pulled into our yard and there were some dogs in the backyard and I did not recognize the dogs. And so I did not know if they were trustworthy dogs. And so my instruction to the girls was just go to the front porch, go directly to the front door. I'm on, you know, getting them out of the car and on my way. Don't go back around the house. Don't go to the dogs. I don't know if we can pet those dogs, right? We don't know whose dogs those are. So Carolina follows my direction, but Georgia decided she would walk up the bank and holler, "Hey, doggy!" And I said, "Georgia, I told you to go to the front porch." And so then we got inside. We had a talk, and I said, "There was a reason I told you to do that." She said, "But I just wanted to see the dogs." I said, "I know what you wanted. But what I was trying to do was protect you in case those doggies weren't children friendly. I did not want to fight three of them to protect you before you got in the house. Now, I don't know if those dogs were unfriendly, but my direction to her was go to the porch." And I said to her, "Georgia, if you ever hear Nana say to you, go to the porch in that voice, you better go to the porch, because I'm only using that voice because I'm cautioning you, or I think that there might be danger there. You need to just trust me, baby, and get to the porch." How many know we don't always know all the circumstances of why God does things in our life, but there is a reason. You know, I shared with somebody last week, closed doors are an answer to prayer. And we sometimes think, wow, I thought this was going to work out, and that door closed, and I thought God was going to open that door for me. Can I just tell you that a closed door is an answer to prayer? Because there are sometimes that God will close a door so then he can get you to the door he wants to open for you. And I guarantee you, the door that he will open for you will be better than the one he closed. Can somebody say amen? There are times when God closes for us and closes doors for us, and we stand there beating and kicking on that door trying to get into it, and God will just say, baby, go to the front porch. Just go to the front porch. I got you. I see things that you don't see. I understand things that you don't see. I know what the end result of that door is. Come on, somebody. And there are times, I think, that when we kick down doors trying to pursue something that's not God's intention for us, only to realize if I'd have left that door alone, God will open the doors that he puts in place for you in something better. And so we have to learn to follow before we can ever lead. And to be an effective leader, you have to know how to follow. How many know somebody's always following somebody? There are only times in my life that I'm in charge. That's a small portion of the time. But there are other times when there are other times when I have to follow. That's my husband clearing his throat back there when I said that. Love you too, babe. Yeah. But how many know there's sometimes you got to trust the person who knows a little bit more about the situation than you do. And so there are just times we've got to trust God. Anybody ever had to trust God blindly and say, okay, this is just, I don't know. I just don't know where to from here. But thank God. He said, I'm a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He doesn't say, I illuminated the future ahead of you. I have given you a light and a lamp for this season where you're walking right now. The lamp for your feet right now. And I don't think it's a good thing for us to necessarily know what the future holds, because we have too much input on how we think it should play out. But I'm thankful that I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds the future. And so in talking about that, we've been talking about different leaders in the Bible, people that God raised up to be leaders, people who didn't know they were called to be leaders, people who didn't think they had it in them to be leaders, people who depended on other people to lead but only found themselves in a leadership position and saying, what now, God? And there are times in our life where God eases us into position, or he eases us into spots, or he eases us into moments, and it seems so right and it seems so natural. And then there are times when God catapults us into a place and into a time and a season, and we land on our feet and say, whoo, how did I get here? And we got to step up and do things that we never thought we could do. I've been put in places and seasons and situations in my life where I've had to do things that I never thought I could do. But by the grace of God, he's walked us through those places and through those times. And so we talked about Joseph last week, and I told you Joseph is way too big of a story to cover all in one Sunday. But just to surmise what we talked about, you know that Joseph was the son that Jacob loved. That's what the scripture tells us. And we could look at his story a whole lot of different ways. Maybe he's the favorite. We know that his father made him a coat. The scripture said a coat of many colors or a coat of many pieces. And I think about that, and there's a couple of different ways. There's some history that states that the coat that his father made him was a coat that established leadership amongst a clan. So that when his dad put that on his brothers, the reason they were jealous is because they said, Joseph is going to be the one who leads us. And so when he established that, it caused jealousy among the brethren. Another a way to look at it is that coat was kind of like a coop blanket, like that they would make a blanket that would tell stories, and that the coat kind of had a story. When our babies were born, and thanks to Miss Joy, we made the grandbabies, we made them quilts out of pieces of fabric that came from all of the people of their family that we could gather up. Grandmothers and great-grandmothers and grandfathers and all of the people, some of the matriarchs and patriarchs that had gone on before, we had pieces of their shirt or a piece of an apron or a piece of something that we sewed a blanket together so that when they wrapped that baby up in that blanket, they were covered by great-grandma Barker. And they were covered by Pappy Jack, and they were covered by grandma and aunts and uncles and on both sides of the family. How many know that blanket tells a story from where you've come from? It tells a little bit about who you are. It tells about your DNA. Who you've been programmed to be because of the genetics of those ahead of you. And so, when Joseph's father gives him a coat, how many of those know there's a lot of significance in that? He not only gives him a coat, but Joseph is a dreamer, and he dreams a dream. The problem with Joseph being a dreamer and dreaming a dream is he shared his dream with the wrong people. How many know you can share your dream with the wrong people because not everybody's going to understand your assignment? Not everybody's going to see it. Not everybody's going to know what's in your heart to do or what vision God has given you. I love the story that Miss Jenny and Mom tell from time to time, that when Mom got saved and Jenny got saved and our families, Ike and them, are being transformed and God is changing the course of history, literally stepped down into the middle of our family and changed the course of our history. Mom shared with Jenny that God was going to make her a preacher and you know, was going to do a work in her life. And Jenny's response was, how are you going to do that? You don't even have a driver's license. And she didn't. And she had a house full of kids. And there seemed no way that God was going to be able to take that motley crew and do anything with them in the gospel and in the kingdom. And we knew very little of prophecy or very little of God's call on your life, but God. But God, how many know a driver's license is a very small thing? And God accomplished, that was a big accomplishment in her life, being able to get a driver's license and to be able to drive. And so we sometimes, and people don't crush your dreams mostly on purpose. They're just trying to logically think. How many know sometimes you can't logically explain God? You can't logically explain God. And so when he began to share his dream and his vision with other people, not everybody gets it. Not everybody's going to understand your assignment. Not everybody's going to understand what God put in your heart to do. Not everybody's going to be in agreement with that. And so the problem with Joseph is when he shared his dream the first time and they didn't like it, and they said, what? We are going to bow down to you? The scripture says, and Joseph dreamed again. See, you can't stop dreaming. You got to dream again. And you got to re-dream it. And you got to keep it in your heart and in your mind. And it said, and Joseph dreamed again. And he shared the dream with the same audience again. I mean, no, not everybody is not in your tribe. Not that we are segregated or not that we are separated, but he shared his vision with the same group again and he got the same response. And so I say to you, if those you are sharing your dreams with are not on board with where you're going, you might find somebody else that can dream with you in what your future is calling you to. And what I mean by that is, just because they don't see it does not mean it's not real. Does not mean it's from God, not from God. And so he shared his dream, and you know the story. They throw him in the pit. They sell him to the Ishmaelites. And he ends up in Egypt. But everywhere that Joseph goes, he finds favor with God. He finds favor not only with God, but with man. And because Joseph stayed true to himself and true to God, God made a way in his life. Now, he found favor with man, but he also found favor with Miss Potiphar, which was not a good thing. And she took his cloak from him. She took his garment from him when he went to flee from her, and then made up a story and said, you know, that that he acted out towards her and made a move towards her. And he fled from her, and because of that, he's thrown into the prison. Now, you know the story of Joseph. He goes from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace, right? And it's in the prison that God begins to use him again in a low place. Because favor doesn't always look like favor. How can the anointed man of God with the mantle of God and the vision and the calling, what am I doing here? You ever been in a place or in a season in your life, you just say, what am I doing here? And Lord, what is your purpose in this? I learned a long time ago that wherever I ended up, that I would say, Lord, why am I here? And what do you want me to do while I'm here? And what do you want me to learn while I'm here? Because I guarantee you, there is something to learn in every place that you've ever been in your life. There is something to learn, good or bad, on how to navigate where you are. And so he finds himself in the prison. While he's in the prison, he meets up with the cupbearer and the baker, and he interprets their dreams. The person who sits beside you in your low places might one day have the key to the palace for you. We sometimes don't want to take the time for the person that's in a low place to minister to them, only realizing that one day they may make opportunity for you. One thing that I've always looked at, one of the things I've always prayed, and one of the things I've always tried to do in youth ministry was to minister to kids on a level that would say, one of these days, these kids might come back and minister to my kids, or come back and minister to us, or come back and minister in a way that God will use them to enhance my life one of these days. So that when you take the time to sow into a life of a child, that time is never wasted. Or to sow into the life of somebody who's sitting beside you who might seem like they're down on their luck, that only needs somebody to awaken the dream in them again. Hallelujah. How many know that when they began to dream, Joseph interpreted their dreams? And in turn, when they got to the king, the cupbearer was supposed to tell the king all about Joseph, how he could interpret dreams. And years went by before he remembered the guy in the prison who ministered to him. Sometimes we forget those who have been instrumental in our life, who were there in the beginning, who were there to give us a word of encouragement. And so when the Pharaoh begins to dream and he needs somebody to interpret the dream, the cupbearer says, oh, I know somebody. How was I supposed to tell you? There's a guy in the prison and he's awesome and he's a good guy and he interprets dreams. And I left him there 2 years. And Pharaoh says, call for him to come. And here's what I love about Joseph. He not only had the dream, he not only saw the need and knew what was going to happen, but he had an answer for how to take care of it. See, a quality of leader is not one who just sits around and says, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. If somebody says, we need to do this, and I know how to do it. And I'm willing to step up to the need and meet the need. You know, I always say that the road to the throne for David was his willingness to serve where he was. David said, you need somebody to deliver food to the brethren? I can deliver the food. You need somebody to be a worshiper and play music for Saul? I can be a worshiper. You need somebody to keep the sheep? I can keep the sheep. You need somebody to slay the giant? I can slay the giant. You need somebody to lead a band of 400 men who are discouraged and in despair? I can lead them out of there. You need somebody to be king? I can be king. See, before he ever got to the throne, he spent a whole lot of time leading and serving and being effective where he was. While everybody's looking for the big break or the big platform or the big title or the big need, just be faithful where you are and let God move you where you are. And it might be in your own home. If all you ever accomplish in your life, when I die, my tombstone can say, I raised world changers. That would be the best thing that could be said about you, is I raised world changers. I don't even have to, doesn't have to say I was a world changer. But I want to know that I sowed into the life of the next generation to the point that we're in good hands. Joseph said to them, when he said, God's going to lead you out of Egypt. This is not your forever home. And when he does, don't leave my bones in Egypt. And I love that scripture, because there are those who have gone before us and those who have. See, I stand here today in the genetics of my mom and my dad, who paved a way in Egypt that I could get to where I am today. The genetics of who I am, I carry with me today the bones of my dad, who was a visionary and who had a vision and didn't take no for an answer. And didn't believe an evil report. And didn't believe that it couldn't be done. And so we carry the bones. Somebody say, I got good bones. Hallelujah. And so you can be effective right where you are. I mean, no, Joseph was just as effective in the prison as he was in the palace. He was doing exactly what he needed to do while he was there. And the scripture said he found favor even in the prison. Even in the hard seasons of your life, God is molding you and making you into what he wants you to be. But he gets into the palace and he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh and he tells him, famine is coming and you need to prepare. Here's what you need to do. You're going to have 7 years of plenty. We're going to store up 7 years of plenty. We're going to build storage bins. We're going to make barns and build bigger barns. We're going to store the bounty of God for 7 years, because then there's coming 7 years of famine. And so in the time of famine, there will be bread in our house, because somebody who was a visionary said, I'm going to see to it that there's food on the table. Someone made provision. Somebody knew the answer. An effective leader not only sees the need, but they know what to do to fix it. Or they know what to do to meet the need. They see beyond where they are. They don't get stuck in where they've been. And what I want to talk to you a little bit today about Joseph is the scripture I want to bring up, I think, is Genesis. Did I give you that one, Lisa? Go ahead and bring that up. And this seems like it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. And I have never connected these two, and I hope I can today. So you'll get it in a little bit. It says, But Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Now that seems like it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But the Lord spoke to me the other weekend down at the lake when we were in our women's meeting. And he spoke to me this scripture and he said, Lot's wife looked back and it immobilized her from moving forward, and she was stuck where she was. Let me say that again. Lot's wife looked back and it immobilized her and left her stuck where she was and hardened her and kept her from going forward. I just want you to think about that for a moment, because, I mean, looking back, the scripture, I read the scripture yesterday and I never really thought about it a whole lot in this way, but it says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You know that scripture? And I looked up some different things on it, but I don't know if I'm in the right crowd this morning or not, but how many of you ever have plowed with a plow you had to hold behind the horse or behind the tractor? A few of you. I know Ike has. A few of you have used that plow, right? Please tell me some of you have used that plow. Thank you. I've seen it on TV. Thanks, Trish, for that one. But how many know the trick to that plow is to watch where you're going, not where you came from? What happens to that plow when I turn around and look? My plow starts to do this. My furrow or my row that I'm plowing does not stay straight to where I'm going, but it starts to weave and curve because I'm unfocused where I'm going. And everything that I plant in there is going to look just like the row that I just plowed, right? So we can spend all of our life looking back. Our cars were made with a big windshield and a small rearview mirror. Because we need to spend more time looking at where we're going than looking at what's behind us. Joseph, to be an effective leader, had to give up the right for revenge, had to give up the right to be angry, had to give up the right to blame everybody else in his life for where he was. He had to give up everything that was meant for him for harm, because he turns around and says, everything that was meant for me for harm, God turned it around and made it for good. God has prospered me in my way. I want to tell you today, God does not bring sickness on you to process you. He doesn't put you through death to process you. He doesn't put you through crisis in your life to process you. Things happen to you sometimes, but God will not waste what you've walked through. He will take every remnant of your life and he will sew together a garment or a blanket or a cape or a jacket for you that when you stand up, let me tell you, Pharaoh gave Joseph another robe. He gave him gold chains. He gave him second in command to the kingdom. But how many know it was pale in comparison to the robe that his daddy gave him, because the daddy's robe was prophetic over his life that, son, I don't understand your dream, but one day God will bring you where he has established you to be, and man cannot stop it, and nobody can stop it, because the will of God in your life is more powerful than somebody's misinterpretation of who you are and what your dream is. And so one day he would stand up in the court of Pharaoh, most powerful man in the land, in one of the greatest empires of the world, second in command to Pharaoh. And yet there is something that is missing. I've got fame, I got fortune, I got position, I got success, but I can't forget my dream. God, when will you bring to pass what you promised? And so it says in Genesis 45, 1 through 16 in the Message Bible, Joseph, they bring his brothers to him. He sends them back with some sacks. It's a big, long story. They come back again. He sends them back to get Benjamin. He sends them back to get his father. He brings them back again. They do everything that he asked. They're in the house of the Pharaoh. And it says Joseph couldn't hold himself in any longer. Keeping up a front before all of his attendants, he cried out, "Leave, clear out, everyone leave." So there was no one with Joseph when he identified himself to his brothers. But his sobbing was so violent that the Egyptians couldn't help but hear him. The news was soon reported to Pharaoh's palace. Joseph spoke to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father really still alive?" Brothers couldn't say a word. They were speechless. See, I love when God silences every negative voice in your life. Everyone who has ever spoken opposition over you, everyone who has ever spoke negativity over you, anybody who has ever spoke anything over you that was not true, he said they were speechless. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing. Come closer to me, Joseph said to his brothers. They came closer. I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold into Egypt, but don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. There has been a famine in the land now for 2 years. The famine will continue for 5 more years, neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me on ahead to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives, an amazing act of deliverance. So you see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. He set me in place as a father to Pharaoh, put me in charge of his personal affairs, and made me ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father. Tell him your son Joseph says, I'm master of all Egypt. Come as fast as you can and join me here. I'll give you a place to live in Goshen where you'll be close to me. You, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, anything else you can take care of. I'll take care of you there completely. There are still 5 more years of famine ahead. I'll make sure all your needs are taken care of. You and everyone connected with you, you won't want look for a thing. You won't want for a thing. Look at me. You can see for yourselves, and my brother Benjamin can see for himself that it's me, my own mouth, telling you all this. Tell my father all about the high position I hold in Egypt. Tell him everything you've seen here, but don't take all day. Hurry up and get my father down here. Then Joseph threw himself on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Then he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. Only then were his brothers able to talk with him. The story was reported in Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers have come. It was good news to Pharaoh and all who worked with him. He said, get home and get my dad. Don't just get my dad. Tell him I am ruler over all Egypt. If you remember when he told his dream to his dad said, well, I and your mother and our brothers bow down to you. And his brothers despised him, but he said his dad pondered these things in his heart and how these things would be. When Joseph sends for his dad, he says, tell my dad that I am ruler of Egypt. It's the moment the scripture says that Joseph weeps uncontrollably. Because the scripture says prior to this that he looked out and his brothers were bowed down to the man in charge. And it's at that moment that I believe Joseph said, that's what I saw. That's what I dreamed. And today God has validated me in front of all of my brethren. And today God has made my dream come true. Was it an easy path? Nope. Was it anything that Joseph could have done to make it happen? No, but God. And what I want to say to you is Joseph had every moment, he had every right, and he had every power to do to his brothers exactly what they had done to him. He could have called the horses and the chariots. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. But Joseph knew that he had the right to do it, but he didn't have the heart to do it. That's what made Joseph so powerful, is that even in every season of his life, his heart was toward God and his purpose. And he could have spent all of his time looking back and said, if I would have just done this, and maybe if I would have just done that, and I should have done this, and I should have done that. I had a lady give me advice a couple years ago. She said, whatever you choose, make the choice and don't look back. Just go with it. You'll second guess yourself all of your life and you'll get stuck there. Make your choice and go with it. Lot's wife became immobilized when she looked back. And she went no farther because she was stuck right where she was. I dare say every one of us in this room could say at some point, I wish I could go back and do that over. In more than one occasion. I wish I could have a do-over on that. How many know there's not a pause button and there's not a rewind button? There's a play and a fast forward. And most of the time, our life seems like it's not so much on play, it's on fast forward, right? But Joseph knew that looking back was never going to accomplish anything. He had to look to the future to know what God wanted to do. There was no time. There's no time for looking back. All of Egypt is dependent on me being the leader at the moment. Your ability to lead will depend on your ability to move on. Don't get stuck on one chapter of your story. Your story may have many chapters. Don't get stuck in one story. One story might be a drama. One might be a comedy. One might be a horror story. Yeah. One might be a nursery rhyme. There's a lot of stories in our life. Don't get stuck in one chapter of your life or one moment in your life. And don't get in despair and feel like you've not seen it come to pass. In due season, in the fullness of time, though the promise tarry, wait for it. Most of the mistakes I've made in my life is when I didn't wait and I jumped too soon. Right? When you jump too soon, that's usually when you think, oh, could have done that a little better, could have done that differently. He was 30 years old when promotion came. His vision came when he was a teenager, 17 years old. We must teach our kids to dream. Dream big. Go for it. And don't let any obstacle keep you from it. If you want it bad enough in this country, you can have it. It will take work, it will take effort, it will take encouragement, it will take tears, it will take prayer, but it can come to pass. If God has put it in your heart, don't give up on it, and don't look back. He was 30 years old, but the scripture tells us that he birthed a Manasseh and an Ephraim. Manasseh's name means, God made me to forget. He gave him a Manasseh and said, his name means God made me to forget all my sorrows. And then he birthed an Ephraim that means doubly prosper, doubly fruitful or prosperity. God made him forget. And when he forgot those things which are behind, he made him doubly fruitful in that season. You can spend all of your life fretting what you have lost or focus on what you have gained. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, not that I have already attained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying in here is forgetting those things which are behind. My mom says she doesn't have a bad memory. She has a good forgetter. Sometimes a good forgetter could be a good thing. There are some things we need to forget. How many know that the Apostle Paul had to forget a lot of things, even in his own upbringing and his own teachings? He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I studied with the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, but I counted all that as dung that I might win Christ. And you can say that he just thought that everything that he had up to that point was worthless or useless. Or you can say everything that I learned up to that point was just fertilizer to get me where I needed to go in the next season of my life. Right? And so he said sometimes there's some things that you have to forget and that you have to let go. Sometimes your prison will become your provision. He gave up his right to be angry for the right to reconcile. And so, get ready to close here in just a minute. Crystal, you can go ahead and come. But talking about forgetting those things that are behind. How many know Ruth had to leave some things behind to follow Naomi? She had to make a bold move. And even when Naomi said, stay where you are, I have nothing else to give you. She said, I'm going with you because there's nothing where I'm at. I got to get up out of Moab. I got to make a bold move. I got to do something different than what I've been doing if I want to see change happen in my life. I mean, if you want to see change happen in your life, you got to get up out of where you are and make a bold move into the next step of your journey. And, you know, I told this story before that when the girls were little and Georgia loved the movie Frozen. Everybody knows the movie Frozen. And I decided I would make her a cloak. It wasn't a coat of many colors. It was Elsa's cape. I decided I would make her a cape one year for Christmas so she could sing Let It Go and she could run around like Elsa with her cape. And so I made it and I wrapped it up and I gave it to her. And she put it on and she ran down the hallway and she started to cry. So what's wrong? You know, I thought you were going to love this. This is a great thing. And she said, it won't fly. My cape won't fly. And I said, well, you got to run. You got to go. And she would start to run again. And she'd look back to see if her cape was flying. And she just starts sobbing and crying. She says, my cape won't fly. And I said, baby, your cape is never going to fly if you keep turning around and looking at it. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, baby, you're never going to fly if you don't stop turning around and looking backwards. And so I said to her, I said, okay, sweetie, Nana's going to hold your cape and I want you to fly. And she took off running and I held her cape and her cape would fly because somebody was holding it up. And then we just sing, let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Your cape will never fly. You constantly turn around and look backwards. But I will tell you that God has placed people in our lives that'll say, baby, let me hold your cape and I'll help you fly. Let me hold your cape and I'll help you fly. Lot's wife looked back and it immobilized her and she was stuck. You can't go back to yesterday, but tomorrow is a brand new day. When the rooster crowed for Peter, it wasn't a sign that he had failed. It was a sign that said, this is a fresh start and this is a new day. Stand with me this morning. If you want to be effective in leading, you got to leave some things go, and you got to stay in a straight furrow. You got to plow that path for the seed that needs to be planted. But because if you're constantly watching behind you, you're going to miss out on where you're going. Amen. You're going to miss out on where you're going. So as Crystal sings something this morning, I just want you to close your eyes. I don't know how that speaks to you or where that speaks to you at. But there might be some things that are aggravating you. There might be some things that are keeping you from flying. There might be some things that are immobilizing you where you are. See, what happens to a pillar of salt is when all the moisture is gone, there's nothing left but the salt crystals. In other words, she dried up. There was no life, no substance, no refreshing in her. Maybe you just need some refreshing from the Lord today. Maybe you need some direction. Maybe you just need some peace in your heart where you are. Maybe you feel like you're in that prison and there's no way out. Maybe you just need to feel God's arms around you this morning. Where wherever you are as she begins to sing and minister this morning. If you have a need, we'd be glad to pray for you. Just lift your hands and receive from him today what you desire, and then watch him bring to pass his promises in your life.